This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Can you shout unto the Lord a shout of victory? Amen. Open your Bible tonight to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We did a survey in our church a few months ago, and I asked you what you'd like me to teach on. And one of the things you asked me to teach on was on how to raise my children to be godly in an ungodly culture. That was like rated 4, okay? The fourth most important thing you wanted to know. We've covered the first 2 or 3. We're covering another one on the weekends. But just during the month of July, on Wednesday nights, we're going to talk about, you know, how you and I can raise our children to be godly in an ungodly world. Or we're calling it how to bring the best out in your kids. Is that okay with everybody? Because, you know, we're a multicultural church, but we're multi-generational. We're multi-generational. You and I need people of all ages around us to keep us balanced. Oh, that's a powerful statement, because a lot of churches today are going young and won't let old people do anything. Or it's an old church and they don't want young people. Or it's a white church, they don't want black people. Or it's a black church, they don't want white people, or brown or yellow, or whatever you say. I'm so thankful for you and our church that we are multicultural, we're diverse, and that also we are multi-generational. You need all ages. You need kids around you. Even if you don't have kids, there are kids in our church you can mentor, coach, inspire, encourage, influence. You need kids around you, and we need seniors around us. Amen. To be a balanced person, you need people of all ages in your world. Boy, that's worth just coming out for the barbecue right there. Amen. So we're going to talk about all month on Wednesday nights. I'm going to answer, you know, your questions. And please, if you have questions on this subject, you want me to cover, email me. And I'll do my best to answer those questions the best that I can with the Word of God. Because I want to scratch you where you're itching. Amen. And the home is under attack like we've never seen before. I think one of the biggest battles the church is facing right now is concerning sex, male, female, the family. I think that's a major battle in the church today and will be in the years to come. So I think it's important we understand and know what the Word of God has to say about family, about roles in the family. And that's what we're going to do this Wednesday nights during this month, how to bring the best out in your kids. So look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 verse 10, have it on the overheads for you. And it's in the Amplified here. And then we'll read it in another translation. For we are God's own what? Handiwork. That's key. Don't forget that. And we are His workmanship. Everyone say workmanship. So God made us. Jesus paid for us. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So that needs to make you know that you're valuable to God. You need to pass that on down to your children. They need to know that they're valuable, that God doesn't make junk or mistakes. God made them. Jesus died on a cross to pay for them. And the Holy Spirit dwells in them. And if that's not enough to make you feel important, I don't know what else could make you feel important. So he says, we are God's workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we can do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living what kind of life? The good life which he, God, prearranged and made ready for us to live. So again, say the word workmanship, handiwork. Okay, now let's look at from the New Living Translation, Ephesians 2:10, New Living Translation. For we are God's what? Now I've given you three words, okay? I've given you the word, you're God's. You need to tell your kids this. So they're God's handiwork, they're God's workmanship, and they're God's masterpiece. Is that all Bible? Okay, so number one, I'm going to give you 2 points tonight because I got 15 minutes, can't give you three. Is number one is that we need to help our kids know they are unique. They're special. That they're unique and that they're special and that God has a purpose for their life. That they are God's handiwork, they are God's workmanship, and they are God's masterpiece. The word masterpiece here means unique. Each one of our kids are different, so we have to treat them differently. But we need to make sure that we're all the time, as godly parents who want to be great parents, that we need to be teaching our children, helping them know they are unique. They are special. They are not an accident, that they are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, and God's masterpiece. Everyone say masterpiece. Say this with me. My kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews are God's masterpiece. Okay? So, and we are God's masterpiece. He has created us. He made us in Christ Jesus. He paid for us so we can do good things. He planned for us a long time ago. I wish people would have told me when I was growing up that I was special, that I was unique, that God had, no one told me that when I was growing up, that I had a purpose, that I had an assignment. I wish someone had told me that I was unique, that I was God's masterpiece, handiwork, and workmanship. So we as parents and grandparents, and even as leaders in the church, we want to help our children know that God has called them to be a leader. Just thought I'd throw that in there for VBS. That they are a leader, that they are unique and they're special and they're God's masterpiece. Now, number two, what you and I as parents have to do then, that's one of the major things we have to do is every day let them know they're special, they're unique, that God has a plan and a purpose for their life. But then also, number two, we need to help them overcome the pressure of two things. The pressure of, number one, conforming to the world. You see, it's one thing for us to tell them, you're the apple of God's eye, you're special, you're not an accident, you're important, God's got a plan for your life, you're a winner, you're an overcomer. But then what happens is the world pressures them to be a people pleaser, to be pressured by their peers, to be pressured by the culture. So how do I raise godly children in an ungodly culture and world? I have to help them to learn how to overcome conforming to this world. So let's look at that. Romans 12 and verse 2. We've got to help them overcome the pressure then that comes against them constantly to be somebody God didn't call them to be. To be what others want them to be, or pressure them to be, or be a people pleaser. We have to help our children understand that they're special, they're God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, God's workmanship, that they're not a mistake, that they're not an accident, that God made them, Jesus paid for them, the Holy Spirit lives in them, that they have a good life prearranged for them. But then we got to help them overcome the peer pressure at school, on the block, in the neighborhood, at church, you know, away at campus, growing up at college, junior high, senior high, or whatever, grade school. We've got to help them on how to deal with conformity or conforming to what the world thinks they should be. Look what the Bible says. Don't copy the behavior. Boy, this is Bible, isn't it? And we got to teach our kids this if we want to raise them up to be godly in an ungodly world. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Well, what do we do then? But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. If you want to change your child's behavior, you have to help them change the way they think. If you want to change their behavior, you don't attack their actions, you work on their attitudes. And their attitudes are made up of what they're thinking. So it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you, change you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know what? God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Let's read it from the Phillips translation. Did we find it? Look at this. I want you to read this on the count of three. Can y'all do it with me? Think of that barbecue. Can y'all do it with me? Think of the snow cones. Can y'all do it with me? Okay, here we go. One, two, three. Isn't that powerful? We have to teach our children, help them to learn how not to let the world squeeze them, pressure them to conform to the ways of the world and what the world thinks they should be or should do. So that's real important as a parent, that we not only teach them their God's masterpiece, they're unique, but then help bring that uniqueness out. Help bring the best of them out. And to bring the best out, we have to teach them how to overcome peer pressure. Does that make sense? Conforming to the world's culture. Number two, the second thing we have to help them overcome and deal with is the pressure of comparing. Comparing. The first thing is what? Conforming. And the second thing is comparing. Think about it. When you're dealing with your children, when you're dealing with your kids, think about the situations and how a lot of those, the root of that is conforming, wanting to be like somebody else, wanting to be like the crowd, wanting to be like those who are popular, being motivated and pressured, pushed by their peers, and they want to be like all that. They want to go where they go, do what they do. You're dealing with that as a parent. The second thing is they're comparing themselves. They put themselves down. They want to be somebody else. They want to be like that person. This person is more pretty. That person is better looking. This person is stronger. That person has more. That person does this and that and the other. They're comparing themselves. So let's look at that, what the scripture has to say about how you and I as parents can help our kids and bring the best out of them. First of all, is tell them that God has a plan for their life, that they're God's masterpiece, that they're unique and special. And we want to help bring the best out of them, so we have to teach them how to deal with conforming or comparing. Say it with me, conforming or comparing. Okay? So let's look at it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. Galatians 6 verse 4. I love this. But let every person carefully scrutinize, examine, test their own conduct and their own work. He then can have a personal satisfaction of the joy of doing something commendable in itself alone without resorting to boastful comparing with their neighbor. Let's look what the Message translation says, Galatians 6, 4. Make a careful exploration of who you are, and the work you've been given. Then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself, but don't compare yourself with other people. Did you know in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says it's a sin to compare ourselves with other people. We shouldn't compare our children with their siblings. We shouldn't compare our family with other families. We shouldn't compare our church with other churches. We shouldn't compare our husbands with other husbands, wives with other wives. Come on, somebody. We shouldn't compare ourselves with other people. It is a sin. So if we're going to bring the best out of our children, what do we have to do? Number one, we've got to let them know they're God's masterpiece, God's workmanship, God's handiwork, that they're valuable, they're important, and they're special. How do they know they're valuable? Because God made them. Christ paid for them. and the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in them. You pound that in over and over again, they'll feel special. They won't want to be like even Mike. They won't want to be like anybody else. And then you have to teach them, though, when they deal with the thing of conforming, you as a parent, we as a parent, grandparents, guardians, leaders, mentors, coaches, have to help them to know how to overcome being pushed into conform to be like somebody else God didn't call them to be. We got to let them know you be who God called you to be, who God created you to be. You just work on being the best you can be. Just work on the best you can be. And then we got to help them to know how to don't compare yourself with anybody else at school, at college, on the block, at church, that you are who you are. God doesn't make mistakes. You don't want to be anybody else. Two of you is too much. Two of anybody is too much. Amen, church. You know, I think it was Henry Ford said, imitation is suicide. If there's two of us, one of us is not needed. You are one in 7 billion.